I think last week I mentioned the document that the CDC put out with the FDA where it says they haven't even isolated this virus. And they're using a strand of RNA, which is in vitro, which means it's sitting in test tubes. They call it characterized stock. Characterized means they've labeled it. They know what the RNA strand is, apparently or allegedly, and it's sitting in a stockpile. And they give you the gene bank number of what this thing is, MN9897.2. They literally give you what the RNA strand is. Now, one of the things that I found interesting about this week is I decided that I was going to go to as many websites as I could or just click onto Google. I typed in the word virus and hit images. And then I typed in virus images and I hit images again. What we're looking at here is they want to say that these things are 25 nanometers in size. And my sister was in virology. They had them in the lab, not in the area that she worked in, but in the other part of the facility. They did have electron microscopes. And so I'm looking on this Google images everywhere for pages and pages and pages. I'm sitting here going, all right, let me just do cells. I want to see an electron microscope image of a cell. And you can find that easily. But you cannot find an actual picture of a virus. They don't exist. It doesn't exist. They don't have an actual picture of a virus. Everything is an artist rendition, some sort of photoshopped paint program. And then one of the things I did find, there's two really good videos on BitChute. One of the things I said about being able to understand what evidence means just like sitting on a jury. You've got to be able to weigh two sides of an equation, two sides of a problem, or even more, depending on, quote, witness testimony. What is the witness? That's the reason I'm looking at all these images. I want to see a witness. Show me the witness. Show me the picture you've got of a virus. So you got to be able to weigh it in your mind and go, okay, what is the truth here? If they don't have an actual picture of this thing, then what is the truth? All right, so going back to the virus thing, I did find one that actually shows a cross-section and it labels all the parts inside this thing. And there's nice little diagrams. One of them I'm going to pull up here. I mentioned the document last week, this annual report from the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, which is part of the World Health Organization. And when you go to their website, you can go get the PDF, but if you just go to the website, it shows you five preparatory documents they did leading up to that report. Now, the last year they did a World at Risk, and there were seven documents for World at Risk. So the one I have up right now shows the picture of, they say, the virus. They got it on the front cover, and they got a cross-section of the thing. And it shows the RNA or DNA, these little strands inside of that thing. Well, that's surrounded, they say, by a lipid, which is fat. Remember all the stuff we've learned about our bodies and how toxins get trapped in fat? So they got a lipid called an envelope, what they call an envelope, that's completely surrounding this dormant piece of DNA or RNA. It can't power itself up. It has no energy. It's completely dormant, completely dead, because there's no mitochondria in this thing. And so outside of that are all these little spiky things. Well, it had it labeled as glycoproteins. If you go look up the word antibody, you will find that antibodies are glycoproteins. And a glycoprotein is a protein that's attached itself to a sugar. And if you look at glycated proteins, you will find out that they turn into crystals. That's why they're spiky. This is actually dormant DNA or RNA. This is cellular die-off. We have this happening billions of times throughout our body every single day, getting rid of cellular die-off. And it's miraculous how this stuff happens. If you just look at the process of it and how the DNA replicates itself, produces a brand new cell, all that kind of thing. But what's going to happen to the old stuff? Well, that's what the purpose of an antibody is. It is an amino acid chain, a protein, that's joined to a sugar for the purpose of moving it out of the body. Because why does the body need a bunch of dead DNA and RNA sitting around? Where do people think that just like DNA and RNA are sitting around just laying on the ground and all of a sudden a fat molecule decides to surround it and put it in an envelope and then, oh, wait a minute, magically a glycoprotein surrounds this thing? Because obviously out here in nature, there must be antibodies running around everywhere. the stupidity of that is what is so frustrating, because people are out here looking for information and they're looking for a solution. If you're just looking for information and just want to be bombarded with information and be addicted to information and be addicted to watching videos without finding a solution, then what's the point? All you do is frustrate yourself. All right, so I'm looking at this thing and they're showing those spikes. And obviously I've said many times, my sister's in virology, and she says, well, they're saying that those spikes are what claw into a cell, and that's how it gets into the cell. Well, if that's true, then out here in nature, they would just claw into our skin cells and work their way in through that. Why would they have to get into our lungs? So I've said this before, is I see these as poisoning events. And the bottom line of it is I've done this for so long now. I started in the Navy's nuclear power program, and I guess I've always wanted to know how things work, so that I'm not sitting here believing in things that I have no business believing in. And we live in a world today that information is not our problem. Disinformation is our problem. And there's so much false information. And if you're going to get to a solution, you got to cut through it and then just do the solution and focus on that. It just doesn't matter all the nonsense that's out here. Because I'm comparing vaccines now, and I'm looking at what goes on with the vaccine. And there's a gentleman that's a physiologist out of Canada. He's showing how brain cells are being killed, and they're seeing people's mouth droop on one side, or there's something wrong with their eyes. And he's like, yeah, these vaccines are killing off parts of the brain. They're literally affecting the electromagnetic system in the body, the nervous system. And I compare that to snake bites. And the reason is, I was actually watching something this week about snake bites, and they're talking about snake venom. Like, why are all the most venomous snakes in hot regions of the world? Well, snakes are always in hot regions of the world. They're cold-blooded creatures. They don't live too far up north. No, I don't care if they're poisonous or not. But snake venom is a poisoning event in the body. And our body goes to work to create antibodies, again, a protein. Now, if you've got really toxic venom, or you're needing to get antivenom, the way that's done in other countries and places where that's a real concern, is they'll shoot it into a horse's butt, and then they will later collect the antibodies. They do it in smaller doses, and that becomes anti-venom. These proteins. Proteins do all the work. But the guy says, well, how toxic is this? Like, if you were to swallow it, what would it do to you? He said, nothing. So goes into a place where we have a defense mechanism, but going into our digestive system, there's hydrochloric acid that's going to break that stuff down. And that's my comparison of being injected. If you drink it, it doesn't cause you a problem. If you get bit, it hits you right in the bloodstream. I think it's interesting when it comes to military, you know, you go out and shoot people. What is a vaccine? They call it a shot. You're getting a shot. Really? All right. So let's go through a little propaganda that came up this week real quick. This is on a MedPage Today website, and it says COVID-19 wiped out the flu around the world this year. We got no flu. All these numbers. That they said normally with the flu season, you're looking at anywhere from 20 to 40 million people got the flu. Nobody's got the flu this year. Everybody got COVID, but nowhere near the amount of numbers that they report with the flu. So what does that tell you about all the reports in the past about all these alleged flu numbers? People are getting the flu maybe from going to get the flu shot. The World Health Organization's Ryan, who's the director general, something like that, says that there's no evidence right now that coronavirus has become more transmissible or deadly, because there's people out here now in the news that are trying to say that this thing is mutating. Dormant, dead things don't mutate. All right, so what else we got? Here's an interesting CDC report, and this is on cdc.gov. This is scientific brief, SARS-CoV-2 and a potential airborne transmission. And I showed this to a friend of mine. He just laughed. He said, scientific? Really? They're using the word science on the CDC's website? The principal mode by which people are infected with SARS-CoV-2 is through exposure to respiratory droplets carrying infectious virus. Respiratory droplets are produced during exhalation, breathing, speaking, singing, coughing, sneezing, and span a wide spectrum of sizes that may be divided into two basic categories. Okay, first category is large droplets. Second category is small droplets. Sounds scientific, right? So the large droplets, it says in here, this is their observations, some of which are visible and that fall out of the air rapidly within seconds to minutes. These large droplets, they're saying, can hang in the air for minutes. That's like a raindrop. Or what is in the air that's going to hold up a water droplet? And then smaller droplets, they're saying, are particles. They're formed when small droplets dry very quickly in the airstream and that remain suspended for many minutes to even hours and travel far from the source on air currents. This is propaganda. This is basic nonsense. A droplet is a droplet. I don't care if it's small. And droplets are going to be based on density. So there's no such thing as this becoming airborne. So when you even look at the CDC's website, one minute they say one thing and the next minute they say something else. All right, misdiagnosis. This is interesting. I pulled this up today because I just wanted to see what we're looking at as far as these alleged COVID deaths. But in the United States, I've got two different websites. One says there's anywhere from 80 to 160,000 deaths per year from misdiagnosis. And the other one says hospital errors are the third leading cause of deaths in the U.S. Estimates up to 440,000 Americans are dying annually from preventable hospital errors. COVID is nowhere near this. But even then, COVID doesn't exist. It does not exist. It says right here in their documents on the FDA's website that it has not been isolated. Well, if it has not been isolated, it does not exist. They have to prove that it actually exists. It said in the United States that there were as many from October last year to January the 11th, and I picked that date of the 11th because on the 15th they said that's the first coronavirus COVID that hit the U.S. was on the 15th of January. And from that point forward, they still kept running flu numbers, which finally I think got up to 39 million, but then they come back with this and say there has been no flu this year. So like I said, they're just all over the map. Let's find the evidence.
Anybody wants to join us?
I got a question. Mm-hmm. My question is, there's plenty of people that have shared in the medical community, in the scientific community, that the virus has been isolated. Now, is that data no good?
According to the CDC and the report that they filed in July with the FDA, the virus has not been isolated.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of scientists in China, in Wuhan, and according to some data out of China, they did a lot of experimenting there with viruses, and according to their data, is they're saying that that virus was isolated in Wuhan.
Well, I have information from a banker that says that the virus was created here in the U.S. The U.S. took it over there. They were working with Wuhan, and the U.S. actually betrayed China to blame it on the U.S. That's why you got Trump always calling it the China virus.
Correct.
Which
but
is, which is pure propaganda.
That even happened with the Spanish flu, where they blamed Spain for the ones that had the flu, but really it didn't start in Spain.
Do you know where it started? I've done the research on that, too. Do you know where it started?
But my question is that data not good enough?
Any data that doesn't make sense is not good enough at all. Because here's the first thing about a virus. If it can get into the lungs and it causes a problem, and this thing is nanometers in size, but the cells inside the lungs are microns in size. They're like 1,000 times bigger. Our skin cells, 30 microns, 1,000 times bigger than this virus. Why doesn't it come in through the skin?
Okay.
So there's plenty of doctors out there. There's plenty of virologists. It's no different than HIV. There's a guy who wrote a book on HIV, and the subtitle of that book is called The HIV Hoax, 2,000 Virologists Cannot Be Wrong.
Mm-hmm. There's always people on both sides of the spectrum, some saying that here's this data and some saying that here's this data. So why not, if you've done a lot of research, are you a scientist?
Yeah, I'm a nuclear physicist by training.
Okay, you're a nuclear physicist. Have you been able to get your hands on the virus?
Why would I get my hands on the virus? Viruses are created internally in the body. Where do you think RNA comes from?
Okay, what I'm saying is, if they have a so-called virus, can you get your hands on it, whatever it is that they so-called they have?
Well, if I needed to get one, I probably could. My sister was in virology for 30 years over here at the lab in Raleigh.
Okay, well, why haven't you done that?
Why would I go get it? There, it doesn't exist. The CDC says it does not exist.
Okay, but whatever it is that they said they have, and they have contained it.
Do you know? Do you? Okay, this is what they. This is my point about propaganda. This is what they say. So all of a sudden, let me ask you a question. Do you trust the media?
Do I trust the media?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back to quote what you said, that we have different sides of stories and we have to do our research, just like you did your research on the linguistics and the language and mm-hmm. how you did your research on A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y. Mm-hmm. So do you trust the letters of the alphabet that you did your research on?
Trust the letters of the alphabet?
Yeah.
The letters of the alphabet are the letters of the alphabet.
And who taught you that? And who taught you that? Who taught you that?
Schools, the public school system taught
that. Do you trust your public school system?
Absolutely not. Do you?
Then how do you know that the letters that you're using are letters?
Because it's common. Because it's common among people. It's common among people to use these letters to communicate with.
Okay, then. So you have to have some type of form of
a letter. I said it right a while ago. A letter is not a sound. Vowels are not letters. They're sounds. 99% of the people on this planet throughout time have been illiterate. They didn't read or write. They didn't have the mechanisms for it. And it was kept among the rich people and also the religious people that they're the ones that did the writing.
But who taught us? Who taught you how to speak? Who taught
you? My parents taught me how to speak. We all learn our language through phonetics. We do not learn our language by writing. Is that right? Did they give you a pen at age one and tell you to start writing down letters? Or did they just do it through phonetics?
No, they did it through phonetics, but they also sent you to their school systems. They sent you to learn.
Well,
and you were taught by this government.
There's a question. Yeah, you're taught by the government. Do you trust them?
That's what I'm saying. So you have to have some form of trust in them because everything that you're speaking is taught from them.
The trust that I had in them back then came from my parents. Where did your trust in them come from?
It came from me learning from the government, learning from the system. That's where my trust came from. I have confidence
really?
That what I'm saying you understand because they taught us the same thing.
That don't mean they taught the truth.
Well, then we're living in a lie. Our whole world, our whole conversation, our whole thought process is a lie.
That's exactly what my point was.
So even what you're saying is a lie.
No.
Because they taught you what you're saying.
No, I researched it and I learned. It's no different than there's a English philosopher back in the 1600s who said that the public school system is the nursery of all vices in this society. So the question is, why are people sending their kids to public school systems rather than teaching them on their own? Am I going to believe every single bit of information that's out here in the public that the government puts out? I mean, Trump came on television and said that he had a respiratory pathogen, but he had no respiratory symptoms, not a single symptom from a respiratory virus. Am I supposed to believe that?
Okay, David, we have actually another caller.
If anybody wants to see, like, somebody who was Duke University, MIT graduate, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, has, in my opinion, done the best videos about this whole coronavirus issue and why the PCR tests don't work. And you now have four attorneys, the attorney team, a bunch of scientists or whatever that are attorneys who are now suing the governments over there for crimes against humanity because the PCR tests don't work. They're invalid. They've already gotten the proof. So I don't need to sit here and defend myself about it. I can listen to Kaufman or whatever. This is my point. There's information and there's disinformation. You got to be able to figure out which one is which. I have the advantage of having somebody in my family who was in virology for 30 years. And that's what she said right off the bat. First of all, where'd they get a test so quick? Because it takes years to develop a test in the lab. And then the second thing was, why are these numbers not showing the same percentages of death? The United States is reporting 700 deaths per million, Australia 25. And they got pretty much the same demographics. So it should be the same percentages. And we're seeing this all over. So when I'm looking at it, going, all right, what is the reality here? What is this reality? And so when I read things like scientific data from the CDC that says droplets hang in the air for minutes at a time, it's a water droplet. It's more dense than the air. It ain't going to hang in the air for minutes. That's like spitting. It hits the ground in seconds. So all of this stuff to me is like, you got to be able to cut through it. That's why we're starting the website Dissecting Propaganda, because it's not just this. It's almost everything. They now have come out and said they're going to dump 1.2 million gallons of radioactive water out of Fukushima into the Pacific Ocean. I was in the Navy's nuclear power program. I can tell you right now that based on events that occurred in the past, especially in the military, if that was actually a real event over there, they would have turned it into a concrete parking lot within days. Within days, they would have buried it. I know, because that's what they did in 1961 with the SL-1 disaster in Idaho. So they've learned a lot since then. And I already know that that's exactly what would have happened. They would have turned it into a mountain of either dirt or concrete or whatever. So I don't understand why everything comes to us in a false form all the time, but I am very cognizant of the fact that I don't want to be susceptible to somebody who's got an agenda.
If we look at all this whole situation, we see that the numbers were over 60%, the death rates that were just between that little line between Boston and New York City. So how can it be a pandemic or a pandemic in the whole United States of America if the deaths were just in that little area? It was a very small area that supposedly had deaths. Now, we all know that some deaths don't necessarily mean that they were actually coronavirus deaths or whatever they're saying. But like how you said, you talk about Andrew Kaufman, and that's my favorite person when dealing with all these type of things. But you remember, you got to go back to the germ theory, and you got to go back to Pasteur and Bichon and all those things. I don't know if you want to touch on that. I know you were going to touch on the Spanish flu or whatever.
Have you researched the Spanish flu?
Yes, sir. And most of that stuff was because of the vaccines. Most of the soldiers were the ones that were affected. On top of that, the radio
right.
frequencies, that's like right now we're about to go into 5G, but a long time ago it was just happened to be 1G, and that was when it first started.
Right.
And Wisconsin was the very first place that started the radio frequencies, which used to be called radiation frequencies, what we call radio. So,
right.
But it all tied together. And I'm just saying, you know, for the people that don't know, or like the lady that just called and was talking about how do we know how to, you know, you look at certain things just don't make sense. You know, common sense is a powerful weapon.